Amidst the positives in the Patriots' 17-14 victory over the Steelers, there are still concerns about this team. And we're going to talk about those today as we continue to break it down. It is the first Victory Monday of 2022. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots your first listen every day, and also your part of a good day of New England Patriots coverage, and I always appreciate you for that. A little sleep deprived here on the pod, as you can tell, but we are ready to come at you on this inaugural Victory Monday of 2022. That's right, folks. The first time we've done a Victory Monday here in the calendar year. And Murph, it feels great. And as you can see, I am joined by the only man with his very own branded hashtag here on Locked On Patriots. He is the legendary Connor Murphy Fisto himself. Thomas Murphy of E2GSports.com is going to hop in here in just a moment, folks. But remember that today's episode of Locked On Patriots is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy made easy. You can pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Folks, you're excited as well as I, because my good friend Thomas Murphy joins me here today for hashtag Locked On Murph Victory Monday, folks. Yeah, it's a long hashtag, but you know what? It's been a while since we've celebrated a victory, bud, and we're going to continue to do that. As you can see, I am your host, Mike DeBate. Cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated. So if you want to let me know what's on your mind, do so on Twitter at MDABATENFL. And if you're watching on YouTube, drop a comment in the box below. Would love to hear your feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. Murph, it's been a while. I keep saying that, but it's been a while since the New England Patriots have experienced a Victory Monday. Well, they've done so with a 17-14 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 2. Yesterday on the pod, very raw, very unabashed after the show, I provided my thoughts on the Patriots' victory, and I tried to stay as positive as I possibly could, mentioning that Mac looked more comfortable. I mentioned the offensive line doing a pretty good job. Also, some of the speed on the defense starting to show well, but you all have heard me drone on and on, and if you haven't, I encourage you to listen to last night's show. It's definitely some good little tidbits there, but the hard-hitting, no-frills analysis is what we need this morning, my friend. That's why you're here. That's why you're always here. Your gut reaction to yesterday's win for the New England Patriots, what stood out to you? What was basically your reaction to the victory?
I was thrilled. It's been 9 months since we've been able to do one of these. my instant reaction was a 180 by the offensive line yesterday afternoon as compared to week one, as compared to most of the summer. It was fantastic to see these guys. Bill and Matt set them up to succeed by going with some of the inside gap type runs and get into a rhythm early. We didn't see any of the outside zone stuff. We saw a good share of inside zone stuff early, but mostly it was that power running downhill game. And Jesus Christ, this is everything that I saw in Cole Strange last year. Why you and I talked about him so often leading up to the draft. Neither of us thought that he would be their first round pick, but we both thought that he would be a fantastic fit here. And he showed it yesterday, man. The rookie had one hell of a day. The offensive line altogether had one hell of a day. They were passing off assignments to everybody, correctly without missing a beat. You saw Cole Strange at the end of the game. them really getting behind him in that last drive. The offensive line just gets an A-plus from me for yesterday. The second thing that I have to mention is the play of Nelson Agholor. Yeah. Agholor just had a fabulous game. A week ago, we saw what happened at the end of the half when you give up a touchdown. Here we saw what happens when you score that touchdown just before the break and get the ball back to start the second half. It was beautiful. It really was. It was a fun football game. And how often do you say that when your team scores 17 points?
It's true. It really is. Yeah. You know, like you look for the final score to be in the 40s and say, wow, that was a great offensive romp. That was really fun to watch offensively. But I'm glad that you mentioned that because those to me are the standouts. I was very impressed by Cole Strange yesterday. I mean, this kid continues to prove, and I said this yesterday, why he was a first round pick. Right. And you saw it before anybody else. I continued to see it because of your insight. Yeah, was there some question mark? I'm not going to sit here because I know the tape can be played back and, you know, we can definitely, you know, question about whether or not a first rounder was something that the Patriots needed to secure his services. But bottom line,
he wasn't going to be there. He wasn't. Yeah. You know, you can do all the chuckling out there in L.A. about that pick as, you know, the Rams brain trust. Thought that you know he was a fourth round pick, but the Patriots got him, and the Rams sure as hell could have used him last week.
That throat clear, folks. Do you think that was a little bit? Maybe a little put in there. Yeah, I think so. But no, all kidding aside, folks. I'm not going to put Murph on the hot seat like that. I would never do that to one of my guests. Only we could do that to our pledges. But in any case. Cole Strange, I think, was phenomenal yesterday. He really was. Not only is he returning to that pulling type guard that the Patriots need for those gap runs that they executed very well yesterday, I thought he had a very good knack for picking up the pressure. I also thought he used his strength, his athleticism. You saw him in the second level of the Pittsburgh defense for a long time yesterday. That, to me, shows a great understanding of what this team does. It's not easy for a rookie to come into this Patriots offensive line and do that. He's done it, and folks, I think you're just scratching the surface when it comes to him as well.
It was textbook offensive line play, all right? Yeah. Every pull, gap lead, backer stuff, it was fantastic. You know, for a fat old center sitting here, I was just mesmerized by what this offensive line looked like yesterday as compared to a week ago. And I don't want to hear anything about the competition, all right? Yeah. I don't. Just don't come at me with it. The storyline in Pittsburgh all week long was that this team was going to put up the Steelers team was going to blow the Patriots out. They weren't going to be able to handle what they had to offer, and they did. They handled everything on both sides of the ball. Lots of keys were turned this week, and I was very happy about it.
Yeah, the lots of keys were turned, folks, and that is a definite positive for the New England Patriots. And also, I know that you mentioned Nelson Agholor. We're going to talk a little Trent Brown. We're going to talk standout performers in just a moment. But before we take our leave from your reaction to this game, Murph, a lot is always made out of the play calling. And you know as well as I, this continues to be a pregame ritual for members of the media, you know, fellow colleagues of I, guys that we respect, coming out and saying that, well, this wide receiver now is questioning the play calling and the Patriots don't know what they're doing. And quarterbacks who have never taken a snap in New England all of a sudden are experts on what Bill Belichick does that's best for his football team. And folks, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Go ahead and take a look, but I'm not going to mention any names, but you know that those are the narratives out there.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Matt Patricia, I think, call a fairly decent game yesterday. Is he starting to work his way out of the doghouse, or do we need to see more before we feel comfortable?
We need to see more before we feel comfortable. Yesterday, not a lot of people would have noticed this, but you know, Billy Yates spent the entire game down on the sidelines instead of up in the booth. Mm-hmm. This took, you know, we made a big deal about how much is on Patricia's plate in coaching the offensive line and play calling. Billy Yates is the assistant offensive line coach, folks, if you didn't know it. So Billy was down there talking with the offensive line from the get-go. And I think that helped a lot. It helped Patricia concentrate on what he was going to do in the next drive. You also saw Bill Belichick with his back to the defense and talking to the offensive line, talking with Mac Jones, sitting there with pictures with him. And I do think that helped. There's a ton on his plate. They took a little potatoes back. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like when your son takes too many potatoes and puts them on a plate, you know, now nah, let's scrape a little bit back there, you know, let's save some for your brother. And I thought that really helped the offensive game plan. They came in with a great game plan. I think Patricia did a good job. A lot of the mistakes that we'll talk about, you could probably put on Mac. But other than that, I was happy.
Yeah, I think so. I think overall, a good mix of the gap runs. I'm glad that they incorporated that, went back to basics a little bit. But they did use some of the outside as well. So
yeah.
I think that blend of what the Patriots did really shows some hope for the future. I agree with you. I was happy as well.
Yeah, like I said, they set things up. They danced with the one that brung them. And then, you know, they went over and they did. They saved a dance for the pretty girl.
Absolutely.
You know, they saved a dance for the pretty girl at the end of the night. And that was really fantastic. It was a good game. It was well planned out. And I've got to give a shout out to the running backs.
Yeah.
Right now. Time. Not just what they were able to do with the ball, but the pass pro that they were able to come up with. That's what all the kids are saying now, folks. Instead of pass protection, they say pass pro. So I didn't see them miss a blitz pickup this entire game. And you can talk about TJ Watt being out or whatever. I really don't think that it would have made that much of a difference if he was there.
Wow. That's a good statement. That is a very good statement. And based on how the Patriots played, it's hard to argue with it. I thought they held up well, and I thought they would have given any team a game yesterday, especially when it came to protection and what they needed to do up front.
Right.
So good stuff for the New England Patriots yesterday. Murph, you mentioned the beautiful people. You happen to be among them. But we're going to talk about who were the standout performers in yesterday's game for the New England Patriots on both sides of the ball. We'll do that when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, folks, want to talk to you a little bit about our good friends over at Prize Picks. Maximize your prognosticating prowess. And let me tell you how they work. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You don't have to compete with any other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA Tour, college football, men's and women's college basketball, WNBA, cricket, you name it, they've got a beat on it. So entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. That's right, folks. It's that easy to do this. And not only that, but their withdrawals are safe, they're fast, and Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive up to a 100% instant deposit match, up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, they'll give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks.com. Patriots fans, the legendary Connor Murphy Fisto himself, Thomas Murphy of E2G Sports, breaks it down for us today on Victory Monday. It's also hashtag Locked On Murph Monday here on the pod. And Murph, in the previous segment, we kind of tipped our hand a little bit as to who were the standout performers for the New England Patriots, but there were quite a few of them in their victory yesterday on offense and on defense. I know you mentioned Cole Strange. We talked a little about him. You mentioned the running backs. Nelson Aguilar's name came up. I know we're going to talk a little bit about those guys, but who stood out to you yesterday when your sharp eye was fixated on the field at Acrisure Stadium? Still doesn't sound right.
No, it really doesn't. Pardon me. The first standout, you know, my first huge green thumbs up this week has to go to Damian Harris. Harris was just a bull out there yesterday. He had 15 carries for 71 yards and, of course, a touchdown. After that, we talked about Nelson Aguilar. He had a fantastic game. But Jacoby Myers has just proven you know, to be that steady hand that's going to move the chains on second down, on third down, when you need it, go to Jacoby Myers, man, go to the law firm and keep a drive going. Other than that, you know, you have to go over to the defensive side of the ball. I thought Miles Bryant had a fantastic game. And here you go, people, Christian Barmore. You know, there's not a lot that's going to show up in the stats this week for him, but he played a fantastic game. He ate up space in the middle. He had two tackles and a sack. And of course, Matthew Judon, he had four tackles and he got in there for a sack. I think he had a pass deflection, there. And you know, he used his head at the end of the game. You love a player that uses his head at the end of the game.
I love it. They're calling it the Willie Mays play, on social media, because he didn't turn around and look at the ball. He just, and I said this yesterday on the pod, he just, like, right there. I mean, talk about instinct. And to do it against a guy like Najee Harris, who is a tremendous athlete, you know, really, you can't say enough about Matt Judon yesterday. Four tackles, one of which went for a loss, the sack, and that fourth quarter pass breakup, which had the chance to really change the complexity of that game. So, if you think about it, he was all over the place.
Everybody on the planet was screaming, turn around, turn around. He didn't, and he lifted his head right at the last minute, and the ball just freaking, you know, found the right spot. Absolutely. You know, it was just coincidence. It's skill. That's a skill set right there. Those are my three, four ups. You would really have to look at the linebacker crew as an entire unit. They played a fantastic game. They showed real gap integrity. They got to the ball quickly when they needed to. They gave the Steelers nothing. The Steelers had no run game yesterday whatsoever. If you take away that Gunnar Osluski end around, which you can't really put on anybody up front at the line, you know, this team averaged 3.3 yards a carry, I think. You know, it was under 4 yards a carry. That's a victory. That's a victory against a team that likes to establish the run, has running backs that can get out there and do things. That's a victory. So there are my ups.
So glad that you mentioned the run defense yesterday, because for the second straight week, Murph, Patriots run defense has looked pretty good against formidable rushing attacks. Now, look at it from this perspective. You can always look at the New England Patriots in terms of stuff that they've done well, that they're going to get credit for stuff that they've done well. But one thing that they had difficulty with last year was stopping the run. Now, whether that's because they're setting the edge better or they're clogging the middle a little bit better, I think it's a little bit of both. And last week against Miami, formidable running back core. You got Raheem Mostert. You got Chase Edmonds. These guys were brought in order to be able to help Mike McDaniel's system succeed. Patriots walked away with a loss in that game, but it wasn't because the running backs ran wild all over the New England Patriots. Patriots held them to 2.8 yards per carry. That was a very, very good showing for them without any question. Then you come in now and you take a look at Pittsburgh with Najee Harris, who is one of the top backs in the league. Maybe a little bit banged up. I understand the foot, but he was removed from the injury report. So you have to go under the assumption that he was as close to 100% as you can get in order to be able to give it a go. So because of that, now you're looking at 2 weeks in a row with this run defense. I don't think it's happenstance. I think this is exactly what New England set out to do in the offseason, and they're doing it well. Right. And the linebackers also played well. I want to give a little love to Mack Wilson on that tip of – Yeah, I mean, I guess I called Trubisky's pass ill-advised, that second quarter pass that was tipped. But I thought Mack Wilson showed a great deal of field prowess, field savvy. This is the type of intelligent football player that Bill Belichick praised when they traded for him. They traded Chase Winovich for his services, and you can see why Belichick likes this kid. He knows where the ball is on the field at all times. Great athleticism. And definitely a tip to the cap of Jalen Mills as well for being in the perfect position to be able to get that. So
that's
great
it. Stuff. I mean, you look at great Patriots DBs that are still on the field, like Devin McCourty, you know, and it's always right place, right time. Mm-hmm. You know, playing this game in your head is so important, and Bill really realizes is. That, and that that showed up there yesterday. It was just fantastic, and just talking about, you know, what the Dolphins were able to do yesterday. I mean, Mozart averaged 4.6 yards a carry. Edmonds averaged 6.6 yards a carry against the Ravens, who the Patriots are going up against next week. Mm-hmm. So I can really see the Pats, you know, continuing this power run game early in next week's contest.
Absolutely. And I think it was our good friend, Matt Chatham, who said after the game, all of a sudden, holding that Dolphins offense to 13 points looks a whole lot more impressive.
Looks a hell of a lot.
Yeah, I know there were 20 points on the board, but seven of those should not have been on the board. Those weren't the defense's fault. So 13 points allowed to that explosive offense, and they looked every bit of explosive yesterday.
They did.
All of a sudden, looking a little bit better for the New England Patriots.
It really makes the loss in week one harder, in my opinion, because once this team really gets going, it's going to be fun to watch.
It will.
It is. It could be fun to watch. They've got a lot of weapons down there. Last week, the Patriots held them in check. Yep. I'm thinking because of the talent that the Patriots have on their side of the ball in defense, more so than you know anything else you want to say that the Dolphins did right yesterday. Mm. They did things right. There was just Patriots there to keep it from getting out of hand. And Matt's right. It was really impressive to only give up 13 points to that offensive crew.
Absolutely. And of course, before we take our leave from that, because we are going to talk about some not necessarily major, but minor concerns for this team, a definite tip of the cap to the offensive line and the play in the final drive, that 13-play, 46-yard drive, drained 6:33 off of the clock. 4-minute drive, be damned. The New England Patriots were going to control the narrative in this one, and that's something they could not do last year. They put their foot on the accelerator, maybe to their detriment at times. This team knows that they can grind out and hold a lead, and that is old school New England Patriots football. And it really is old school New England Patriots football at its finest. But
and if you're complaining about the final score, people, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear why didn't the Patriots punch it in there? Why didn't they kick a field goal? It wasn't needed. It really wasn't needed.
Yeah, it wasn't. And, you know, you pick your spots at that point, Murph, and you go forward from there. But it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows yesterday in Pittsburgh. Murph and I are going to discuss what still concerns us about this team, if anything, heading into week three and beyond. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast in just a moment. But first, let me talk to you guys about Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, Canada, and in the UK. Book a spacious SUV or a minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Or you can simply find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance, and terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Find your drive at Turo.com. Patriots fans, the legendary Thomas Murphy, the Green King of Sting, the Monster Master of Disaster, the Dancing Destroyer, the Count of Murphy Fisto himself, joins us here today to celebrate Victory Monday here on Locked On Patriots. But most importantly, folks, it's hashtag Locked On Murph Monday. We wouldn't do it any other way, and that's exactly why the man is here. And Murph, we've talked a lot about positivity. As a matter of fact, I guess you could call the last last four segments of Locked On Patriots, counting last night's episode, as sugar-coated. But we're about to take the bloom off the rose, folks. Or are we? The New England Patriots are 1-1. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 17-14, starting to show some signs of life. But you and I both know that yesterday's game was not perfect. No one would sit there and say it was. And there are still elements of the way the Patriots are playing that could cause some concern for the future. Murph, in your estimation, when you look into that Belichickian Murphian crystal ball that resides on your desk, what still worries you about this team? What tendencies did you see yesterday that lead you to believe that there still may be some problems on this team that need ironing out?
Special teams, which is just confounding to me as to how important special teams play is to Bill Belichick. I'd like to take Cam Accord into, you know, special teams coach Cam Accord into a room and say, what the hell, dude? What the hell? You know, Miles Bryant almost muffed a punt into a safety for the Steelers. It ended up being a touchback. And later on, I don't think the coverage was excellent. Although, you know, our Brendan Schooler, suck it, Felger, was down there and he picked up a nice little recovery there, but he wasn't covered. There was no one covering him. He should have been down there, and Gunner muffed that, and he was able to fall on it. But special teams, I guess special teams a D for their play yesterday. I really do. And a missed field goal. You can't really get too much on it. It was how far was that?
52 yards.
The 52-yard missed field
goal. And Nick had made a 53-yarder in pregame warmups from that same distance, that same location as well.
Right.
It was that same side of the field. So.
That's a makeable kick for him. And whether it was a bad snap or a bad I haven't watched the game a second time yet. So I'll have to go back and look at that. I'm not sure how the snap got down, how it was placed down, but he shouldn't have missed that. There was 3 points that were left on the field. I'm giving the special teams a D on the day.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, when I go back and I take a look at what the Patriots did yesterday, I'm right there with you in terms of special teams. Now, Brendan Schooler, I thought, showed a real heads up move, wisdom beyond his years. I love the way this kid attacks. And don't forget, folks, he's still a rookie, so he's still emerging. To see him make a play like that is impressive. So you want to give him his kudos. But let's be honest. I mean, Gunner really gifted that to the New England Patriots. He made that man a gunner yesterday. You used the gift file. I used the gift file. I loved it. We put it out there. And you know, I didn't have to do it disingenuously. I did it to earn the good graces of the New England Patriots fan base. You would be surprised the amount of DMs I got yesterday. You better not show that Gunner. He's not your guy anymore. I did. I got a couple of people called me out in main chat too, but I got a chance to use it for a good reason. Sorry, folks, I digress. I agree with you. There are some coverage issues on this team. You know, you talk about the muff punt at the beginning, or not the muff punt, but just the bad placement, really, I think of, you know, being out of place and whatnot. It really is, I think, just something that goes back to fundamentals. And, it surprises me a little bit that they're still there.
He looked like a AAA center fielder out there. Yeah. It was, you know, and I'm not going to bring up any names. Who played for the Red Sox, or the Woo Sox now. But no, you can't do that. You can't have it. I mean, that could have been a safety. For Christ's sake, it could have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
All right.
It really could have.
It's just wrong. You can't go out there with that. My second downgrade, if we're moving on, I'm sorry, is
no, we are.
Sorry, Claire. It's the tight ends.
Yeah.
Okay. Henry only got one target on the day. I think Jono Smith got three and didn't haul in any of them. You know, they blocked well, but you need to be more of a factor going forward. And the reason that they weren't a factor is that they weren't open. And my third downgrade will reflect into this, but it's, I need more out of these tight ends than blocking. Okay. The Patriots ran 11 personnel almost exclusively the entire game. And I was happy with that. Running this offense, it runs out of 11 personnel all the time. And I think that running out of 11 kept the Steelers on their heels.
Yeah.
And because they really weren't sure what was happening last week, you got a lot of 12 personnel. So they really knew what was, you know, when you run this out of 12, you really know what's coming.
Yeah.
And this week, running the run game out of 11 personnel kept them on their heels. They weren't really sure what was happening, whether it was a run play, whether it was a pass play. I thought, there we go, back to brilliance and good points. But no, the tight ends did not have a good game. They just did not.
No, they didn't. And I'm glad that you mentioned the 12-man personnel, because Claire and I talked about that last week and how this might be the resurgence of the 12-man, the rebirth of it into this offense. Nope. And I was all for it. I was very much, you know, gung-ho on it. And Claire was very level-headed. She was actually the more level-headed of the two of us when it comes to tight endage last week. And she made a great point. And she says a lot of what we saw in 12 personnel was blocking schemes. And that's exactly right. And I also want to give credit, and forgive me, I can't remember off the top of my head, but we have some amazing viewers here, listeners of Locked On Patriots, and primarily with the YouTube page, because you can comment in real time. And they made a good point about how when Patriots or any team lines up in 12-man personnel, like you just said, Murph, it tips your hand. The defense is able to know exactly what you're going to run and how you're going to run it. It's one thing to know. It's one thing to stop it. Right now, the Patriots are not showing the prowess to be able to do it and say, like Larry Bird would, like, I'm going to get the ball right at this spot, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to hit the three, and we're going to get out of here, and it's going to be all your fault. Larry could do that. He did it to Xavier McDaniel once, and Xavier tells the story. It's really a great one to watch, folks. Google it. Get it on YouTube. If you love Larry Bird trash talk, it'll be great. But the New England Patriots swagger on the tight end side of things does not allow them to do that. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith not playing at the high enough level to do it.
Jonnu Smith is not a joker. He's not. And that's what this offense needs, is that joker move tight end. And that'll bring me to my next point. Little Jordan Humphrey had a very nice game. He was on the field a bit. He was open. Mac Jones missed him up the seam, which was a perfect, you know, Haas wide juke type, you know, situation. Well, it wasn't wide that open play, but he was wide open, and Mac missed him. And but that's what he brings to this offense. Is that move tight end, that joker type person that can come in here and bust up a seam and make that I don't want to say a focal point, but another option that unfortunately Mac missed. And that brings me to, you know, my last thumbs down. And it's really hard after, you know, he had a solid C game, Mac Jones at quarterback. He missed the coverage when he threw that interception. They had been inexclusively manned the entire time, and he missed Tampa too. How do you miss Tampa too? All right. So, and then he nearly threw a pick when he threw the ball behind Hunter Henry. If he threw it in, you know, if he threw a perfect ball to Hunter Henry, you know, maybe I wasn't getting down on the tight ends as much as I would, but he missed that one. So there was another near interception when he had that rollout, but his pass was dropped, you know, by the Steeler, and that could have been a real game changer right there. And then, as I said, he missed little Jordan Humphrey down the seam. You know, he gave Nelson Agholor a good chance to come down with the ball early, but there are just too many balls that are behind people. And quite frankly, I tweeted this out yesterday. There's too much air under his balls. He's throwing balls off his back leg. There's just too much air, and he's giving these guys too much time to react. Yeah. And that's an issue. That's a problem. He needs to figure out that, you know, sometimes there's a little too much touch on his passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a solid C game. A C game.
Yeah. I mean,
but if he had hit a B game, if it was a B plus game, maybe we're talking about, you know, 24, 27 to, you know, 10 in this game. So I don't know. Interceptions hurt. And you know how I feel about turnovers.
Yeah, turnovers and interceptions are still, you know, definitely a concern. If there's a thumbs down, the only blemish on the offensive line yesterday was a couple of penalties. You know, obviously the Patriots need to clean those up. Those are fixable offenses. But I'm glad that you mentioned Mac, because a lot of what we do is react in the moment. And Mac did look better. He looked more comfortable yesterday. I thought the Patriots handled the second and third level blitz a little bit better. But there are still decision-making issues, and you hit the nail on the head with these missing guys. I think maybe overthinking things a little bit too much. And then mechanically, I do agree. The air under his throws is going to be something that's going to continue to haunt him, and one of the reasons why he may get easily picked
from
here. Yeah, exactly.
Got to get that right.
You got to get that right. That's got to be on guys like Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick, Brian Hoyer, work with Mac, make sure that those things are being taken care of in practice, because they're facing a Baltimore Ravens team this week that not only are they going to be some angry birds coming in here after blowing that lead, this is a team that knows how to take the ball away. They have a very good nose for turnovers and for getting after the football and the quarterback. So a lot to shore up, but you know what, Murph? It's still hashtag Victory Monday. It's still hashtag Locked On Murph Monday. And we raise a glass to the New England Patriots for their victory and getting back in the win column. And, Bud, I always raise my glass to you. I thank you for joining me here today on the pod, bringing your wisdom and counsel the way only you can. Before I let you go, my friend, please let everyone know where they can find you, where they can absorb your great wisdom and counsel, whether it be written or whether it be by voice. Floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, you can check me out at e2gsports.com, Red Sox coverage, Patriots coverage, plus whatever, you know, pops into my head. Nothing's been popping into my head the last week or so because we're right in the middle of a move here. I might be a little echoey because there's nothing on the floors and nothing on the walls yet. Of course, tomorrow you can watch us on the E2G YouTube channel. Please subscribe for One Patriots Place. Derek Havens is going to be our guest tomorrow. That's always fantastic. We'll be live at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. So, you know, skip out on lunch a little early, sit back and enjoy that show.
Absolutely, folks. And again, like I always say, if Murph is putting pen to paper or he's putting voice to microphone, it's always appointment listening, appointment viewing, appointment reading. So do not miss any of it. And I always thank you for the wisdom and counsel that you lend here on Locked On Patriots. Always honored, always humbled by your presence, Don Murph. And we look forward to next Monday's pod, which hopefully will be our second Victory Monday pod in a row. But I don't say that lightly, folks. Baltimore Ravens are coming in. They pose a big time threat to the New England Patriots. But in the meantime, continue. Absolutely. But in the meantime, folks, please continue to download, subscribe to, and follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcast. And of course, smash that subscribe button to YouTube as we continue our march to 1,000 subscribers. Folks, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to visit Locked On Patriots today and make us a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until tomorrow, Foxborough faithful, stay safe, stay well, be the change that you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.
Who made that man a gunner?